This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، I was talking to someone recently and he remarked that he no longer desires or can tolerate watching the news because of how horrible it is repeatedly and daily, especially when you consider what is happening to children and what future will they have, those who survive, what future will they have? And he said that the most upsetting thing, the most frustrating thing is how helpless you feel. And that prompted a question about what does it mean to be helpless? And if our helplessness is imposed on us from outside, or if part of it is chosen. Now, we must ground all of our standing in the Quran and in the Sunnah. If you go back to the Sunnah, you'll find that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam sought Allah's protection from helplessness, from inability, from his dua, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسَلِ. I seek your protection, Ya Allah, from helplessness and laziness. And these two things are companions. Because you either want to do something, but you're unable. So this is ajz, inability. You have the desire, but you simply can't. And that's heartbreaking, that's devastating. Or kasal, laziness, you don't even have the desire. You may be able to, but you can't. You don't want to do it. Both of them lead to the same outcome. There is no concrete things, ineffectual life, because you don't even want it, or even if you want it, you cannot do it. So the Prophet ﷺ sought Allah's refuge from that. That is one type of helplessness. But in another hadith that adds another layer to our understanding, he said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ اِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. He says, hold on to, seek what benefits you. Go after what benefits you and seek Allah's assistance and don't be helpless. And here that prohibition means that this helplessness is chosen. Otherwise, there is no meaning to prohibit something that is out of your control. So he's saying here, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, you know what benefits you? Hold on to it, run after it, favor it, and ask Allah to assist you, and don't act like the helpless. Don't be like the helpless. And that means that this is chosen. That you live like a helpless person because you've chosen to be a helpless person. Now, if you go also to the Sunnah and to the Quran, you'll understand that the shaitan is trying to make you helpless. Whatever you want to do to bring you close to Allah Azza wa Jal, he's going to stand in your way. وَلَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit in the straight path between them and you. That's His promise. That's His declaration. And in interpreting this ayah, the scholars bring the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَعَدَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ بِأَطْرُقِهِ فَقَعَدَ لَهُ بِطَرِيقِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَقَالَ لَهُ أَتُسْلِمُ وَتَذَرُ دِينَكَ وَدِينَ أَبَائِكَ فَعَصَاهُ فَأَسْلَمَ وقعد له بطريق الهجرة فقال له أتترك أرضك وسماءك فعصاه فهاجر وقعد له بطريق الجهاد فقال له أتجاهد فتقتل ويقسم المال وتنكح الزوجة فعصاه فجاهد فمن فعل ذلك كان حقا على الله أن يدخله الجنة. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام that the shaitan sits in any righteous path that you want to follow to discourage you, to make it heavy, to frighten you. So, in the path of Islam, he sits and he says, are you going to leave the religion of your fathers and forefathers and embrace something new? So he disobeys him and he accepts Islam. Then when he wants to migrate, he says, are you going to leave your land and your sky, everything that you know, and go to a new land? He disobeys him and he goes and he migrates. Then when he wants to fight for Allah's sake, he says, you're going to fight for Allah's sake and be killed, and your money will be taken away. Somebody else will marry your wife. He disobeys him and he goes for jihad. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who does that, Allah promises him Jannah. So whatever thing you want to do, whatever righteous good thing that you want to do, you must understand that the shaitan is sitting right there to frighten you, to make it improbable, impossible in your eyes. Why would you do this? It's too difficult. Sit and be relaxed and have fun and enjoy your life. Why strive? Why struggle? It's going to end up in failure anyway. And he's going to keep up with these whispers until you stop. And in another hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, إِذَا نَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَقَدَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى قَافِيَتِهِ ثَلَاثَ عُقَدِ. He says, when you sleep, the shaitan will tie three knots at the back of your neck. فَإِذَا هُوَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ إِنْ حَلَّتْ عُقْدَ. But if you wake up and you remember Allah, one of those knots will be loosened. If you make wudu, the second knot will be loosened. If you pray, salah, the third knot will be loosened and you will wake up طيب النفس نشيطا, energetic, in a good mood. But if not, وَإِلَّا أَصْبَحَ خَبِيثًا نَفْسِكَ سْلَامًا. If not, you will wake up sluggish, lazy, in a bad mood. So this is the plot of the shaitan, to make you lazy, tired, unable. So there are ways to fight that. But you have to be aware of that external plot to make you helpless. And if not, we would be complicit in our own helplessness. Because you know the disease, you know the plot, but you know the remedy. And we choose not to medicate ourselves. There are a couple of stories in the Quran to illustrate, and they are very instructive in how we make ourselves helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So have you not seen and heard about the people, the Israelites, after Musa, when they've asked a prophet of theirs, send us a king so that we would fight in Allah's cause. And I want you to see the similarities between their condition and ours, to understand that these stories are not just simply stories. They're way out. They're lessons. They are predictive. They're analytical. قَالَ هَلْ عَسَيْتُ مِنْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا. So the Prophet told them, perhaps when fighting will be prescribed for you, you will not fight. Meaning you're saying something, but your actions are going to be different. قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. He says, why would we not fight for Allah's cause? And we've been driven out of our land and our children were taken away from us. You see the incentive? We lost our land, we lost our children, we want to fight. Send us someone. That's the energy. That's the bravado. We want to do this.
Allah said, فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالُ تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ.
When fighting was prescribed for them, they turned away except for a few among them. And Allah knows the unjust. He knows them very well. Not everybody who says something is going to do it. Not everybody who expresses a sentiment is going to do it. There's a difference. And Allah, when He continues that story, to understand that there is no way out except with taqwa. And it's sometimes surprising that when we find the ummah in the situation that it is, or someone is simply facing personal ordeals and problems, and the suggestion is, go back to Allah Azza wa Jal, be alright with Allah so that Allah could assist you, so you could find a way out. Some people are surprised and they think that this is irrelevant. How is it irrelevant? Because if you are not ready, if Allah does not assist you, if Allah does not champion you, how would you be able to survive, to travail, to be able to be successful, to win over the shaitan and everybody else who's assisting him? If you and I in ourselves are weak, how would we be able to win? So see the remainder of the story. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. He says, when Talut separated with the rest of the soldiers, he said that Allah is going to test you with a river. Whoever is going to drink from it, he's not one of us. He's not going to join us. And the one who does not drink from it will join us except if you take few sips. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. They all drank from it except very few. That's where patience and taqwa matter.
فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ.
Then when he separated or moved beyond that river, he and those who are believers with him, they said, today we have no power against Goliath and his soldiers. We're helpless, we don't have energy, we don't have power. It's not possible to win against them. Now you see the value of iman.
قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Those who know that they're going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal said, how many times did it happen that a small group won against a larger army with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal? And Allah is with those who are patient. And then when they faced Goliath and his soldiers, they said, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. When they faced them, they say, Ya Allah, pour patience upon us and make our feet strong and steadfast, and help us to win against those who disbelieve. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They defeated them with the will of Allah. So those who listened to Allah and they had iman, they weren't helpless. And those who disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, they were helpless. To understand that the choice that you and I make results in helplessness or in power and ability. We have a role that we play in that. Take another incident that comes before that with Musa alayhi salam. When he speaks to the Israelites, and he said, يَا قَوْمِ ادْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. It says, O my people, enter the sacred holy land that is written for you, and don't turn away, then you'll be among the losers. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. He said, O Musa, there is a mighty people inhabiting the land, and we will not enter until they leave, so if they leave, we will go in. That's helplessness. Why? Because you disobey Allah. You close that door. You think it's impossible, but nothing is impossible with Allah Azza wa Jal. So their own weakness makes them helpless. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قال رجلان من الذين يخافون أنعم الله عليهم ادخلوا عليهم الباب. It says, two among those whom Allah blessed who fear Allah Azza wa Jalla told them, just enter the gate. Meaning, as Allah commanded you, what did He want from you? Believe in Him and enter the gate. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ If you enter, you will be victorious. You will defeat them. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ And rely upon Allah if you are believers. Meaning, do as Allah wants from you. Don't put impediments, false impediments, in front of you. Don't listen to your own weakness or to the whispers of the shaitan. Allah said this. Just do as Allah is saying. You will win. Believe in Him. What do they say?
قالوا يا موسى إنا لن ندخلها أبدا ما داموا فيها فذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إن هاهنا قاعدون.
They say, oh Musa, we will never go in as long as they are there. So if you want to fight, you and your Lord, you go and fight. We're just going to be sitting right here. And in the face of this insolence, what does Allah Azza wa Jal say? What does He do to them?
قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ
It says, it is then forbidden for them. 40 years they will wander the land lost. Lost. Meaning the land that is supposed to be theirs, and there is a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, for 40 years, they will not be gained entry to it. They will not be permitted to enter it. Plus, they're lost. They can't find their way out. And imagine, if you can't find your way out of the masjid. I know where the door is. I just simply can't find it. Where is it? For 40 years, they cannot find the way out. That's helplessness. But was it imposed on them from outside or did they choose it? Think. It was chosen. And then Allah punished them with it. And so the scholars say, he says, whenever you find yourself as an ummah or even as an individual, lost and confused, you don't know where the truth is. You can't find your way out. Go back to your previous choices when you disregarded Allah's command. Because the confusion, like the Israelites today, comes from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the confusion of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam today. And that is its helplessness. That each individual believes that he's helpless. They don't push themselves, they don't know, and they don't want to do what Allah wants from them. And accumulatively, we become collectively helpless. So even as an individual, if it's hard sometimes to fathom how this works for an ummah, sometimes when you are presented with haram choices, you think that the haram gives you options, right? Oh, I have this and this and this, this and this, these options because of the haram. You don't understand, you don't really realize that once you choose the haram, you've chosen restrictions. And the paths that were available before will be taken away from you. And you will be lost, not guided. Weakened, not empowered. So don't believe the whispers of the shaitan when he says, follow the haram and you will prosper. If you follow the haram, you will be lost. قولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Escaping helplessness comes when we desire what Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do. We embrace it, we want it because we believe that it's the best for us. And we strive, we push ourselves to do it, to embrace it, to fulfill it. And only when we cannot, then we say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Meaning, I cannot do this. And I'm seeking Allah's assistance. So لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In the beginning, in the middle, and in the end tells you that you're not doing it because of your own power. We have no power. You're doing it because Allah is assisting and will assist and promises to assist. So don't look at your own limitations. Look at the possibility that Allah Azza wa Jal has for you. And then embark and embrace what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. It comes with an aspiration, with an ambition to be better and to do better, not to be content with the world as it is or with yourself as it is. Once, the story is about that ambition. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was hosted in one of his travels by a Bedouin. And then he told him, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to him, once you are in Medina, come to us so that we would honor you in return. So when that Bedouin came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked him, what is it you want? قَالَ أُرِيدُ نَاقَةً وَأَعْنُزًا أَحْلُبَهَا. He says, I want a camel and few goats to milk. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, أَعَجُزْتُمْ أَن تَكُونُ مِثْلَ عَجُوزِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. He says, are you unable, are you helpless to be like the elderly Israelite woman? They say, O Prophet of Allah, who is this elderly Israelite woman? He says, when Musa alayhi salam wanted to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he was lost. He couldn't find his way out of the city. He kept trying, but he couldn't find his way out. So he turned to the Israelites and he says, what is this? Why is this happening? He says, because Yusuf alayhi salam made us promise before his death that when we are going to leave Egypt, we take his body with us and we bury it in Ash-Sham. So we cannot leave until we get his body. Where is his body? He asked. He says, no one knows. Except an elderly woman. She's the only one who still remembers where he's buried. He goes to her and he said, where is he buried? He says, I know where he is buried, but I will not tell you until you give me a promise. He says, what is it? He says, that I'll be your companion in Jannah. Musa did not want to give her that. Just for this information, yet Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him, give her her request. She's going to get it. So where is he? She said, here, drain this lake. They drained it, extracted his body. He says, as soon as they extracted the body, the path was lit like the day. Exactly, they knew where to go. When something is missing, the exit is missing. And you want the exit to be clear? Go back to Allah Azza wa Jal and push yourself and don't be helpless and seek what benefits you and rely on Him. And don't say it's too difficult. Another story that tells you about religious ambition, how you should seek the hereafter more than the dunya. The Ansar, may Allah be pleased with them, they once said to themselves, it says, we got tired of transporting water from the wells to our farms on camels. Why not we go to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and ask him that he would ask Allah for the Medina to flow with rivers so that the water would come to our farms. Why not we go and ask him this? So they got ready and they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet, when he saw them, he says, Ahlan wa marhaba, welcome. He greeted them and he said, something must have brought you here. They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, whatever you ask me, I will give you. And whatever I ask Allah, He will give me. So meaning, ask whatever you want, it's given. And he'd ask him what it is. Whatever you want is going to be given. Now, what do you think they asked him? They turned to each other and they asked themselves, "Ad-dunya turidun?" He says, "You want the dunya now?" "Qalu ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, istaghfir lana Allah." He says, "O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to forgive us." فقال اللهم اغفر للأنصار ولأبناء الأنصار ولأبناء أبناء الأنصار. He said, Ya Allah, forgive the Ansar and the children of the Ansar and the children of the children of the Ansar. They could have had the dunya and be just content with it. Rivers, farms, crops. But now that they have this unparalleled opportunity, you could ask whatever, and the Prophet ﷺ will give that to you, and Allah will give that to you. What is it that you want? Their iman said the next life. And so they and their children and the children of their children received the best supplication from the Prophet ﷺ. Don't mind rivers and farms and money and wealth and all of this. The next life is a thing that is going to last. So, are we helpless? To a degree, there is some helplessness that is imposed on us. And to another degree, there is selected, willful, chosen helplessness that we choose to and be engaged in. We are not restricted to only dua. There's much more that we can do than dua. But even dua, we're not doing enough of. But then beyond dua, there is money. Beyond that, there is your own righteousness that helps you and your family and the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. There are opportunities that remain closed because we did not knock on the door, because we did not push. So before we surrender to helplessness, let's ask ourselves, why are we? And rely on Allah Azza wa Jal so that we are not. And then you will find that our situation will change by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So let's start simply complaining and ask yourself, what is it that I can do and I can do better and more? And lastly, inshallah, as you know, there are brothers here who are asking for your donations for their masjid. So Allah, please Allah Azza wa Jal, and give from your heart, and give what you can, and make dua for them, and spread the word around it. And again, don't be helpless. If you have an opportunity to build and maintain a house of Allah Azza wa Jal, don't sit back and say, no, somebody else is going to do it. No, it is you who is being asked, it is you who is being requested, and it is your and my responsibility to do this every time. Hold yourself personally responsible for what is happening around you and to the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not somebody else. It is me. It is I. It is you. Let's do something about this. So I ask you, Allah Azza wa Jal, to help them establish a house of Allah Azza wa Jal and to help us be partners in that establishment. Wa ask him, Rabbil Alameen, not to make us among the helpless or lazy. Wa ask him, Rabbil Alameen, to help us make the right choices. Wa ask him, Rabbil Alameen, to instill in our hearts iman and taqwa, to instill our hearts love for him subhanahu wa ta'ala more than any other love, and love for Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam more than any other human, and love for the believers, and love for what Allah loves, and hate for what Allah hates. Wa ask him, subhanahu rabbil Alameen, to forgive us all of our sins, to give us power against our addictions, against our weaknesses, to give us, Rabbil Alameen, the best in this life and the best in the hereafter. We ask him, Rabbil Alameen, to send his help to the people of Gaza, to the people of Palestine, and to the rest of Muslims throughout the world. Ya Allah, we ask you that you would assist them and be on their side, that you would clothe them and feed them. Ya Allah, that you would cure them and accept the dead, Ya Rabbil Alameen, as martyrs, and you would take care of the orphans and to take care of the widows, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. You are the best protector and you are the best provider. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hasan wal-azzi wal-kasal wal-jubni wal-bukhl wa ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. Ya hayu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Aslih lana sha'nana kullah wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfata 'ayn.